The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, are there any facts associated with the Bible? Is the Bible corroborated by other history, history that's contemporary with the times of the Bible? Is it corroborated by archaeology? And you've heard that the Bible is full of prophecies. Well, have any of those prophecies ever actually been fulfilled? You wonder about these things. And when you talk to your Christian friends, you get mixed messages from Christians. Some Christians do talk about facts. Other Christians tell you that when you ask about facts, you're doing something inappropriate because facts take away from the beauty of faith. Well, my friends, if any Christian has told you that you shouldn't ask questions and you should accept everything by faith, let me say this as nicely as I can. They mean well. They really do. But sometimes I wish they wouldn't try to help us out quite so much because, frankly, they are not being particularly helpful. Of course you want to ask about facts. Of course you're interested in knowing if all this stuff is actually true. Why commit yourself to follow something if it is not true? Now, yes, the Bible does talk about faith. The Bible talks about faith a lot, but faith was defined in the Bible differently than it's defined by our culture today, than it's defined by Webster's Dictionary. In the Bible, in the New Testament part of the Bible was written in ancient Greek. Faith meant obedience and trust. The writers of the Bible were saying, when they asked somebody to have faith, God's existence was already established. They were saying, knowing for a fact that God exists because God has already made himself known to you, knowing that for a fact, starting with that fact, do you now have the faith to trust him to work in your life? Little kids have to trust their parents all the time. Trust me, you don't want to play in the highway. Trust me, you don't want to have too many sweets. Trust me, you need a curfew. But they're not going home wondering if their parents exist or not. Okay, so the writers of the Bible, the New Testament, the disciples of Jesus, when they told people to have faith, they were asking them to have faith in something that had already been proven to them. They were not talking about a blind faith. But here's what most people think when Christians talk about faith. And there are some Christians that talk about it this way. And they're not representing their belief system very well. Some people think that when you say that you believe God exists, that you have faith, you're saying, actually, none of us could really have any idea whether God exists or not. Whether or not Jesus rose from the dead or whether Jesus is God incarnate. But hey, I know. I'll just act like it's true. I'll just pretend it's true and believe anyway without a shred of evidence. And if, by chance, I happen to accidentally actually be right, well, then when I die and my soul travels to heaven and goes before the throne of God, God will reward me for having been so gullible and stupid. And if a sincere skeptic is next to me who didn't want to follow something blindly because he had brains and he said, I thought God gave us brains to think and ask questions, well, that person's going to go to hell. My friend, what kind of picture of God is this for people? If that is what you think God is asking you to do, think again, please. And here to help you think again is my good friend who always thinks, and he's a rotating co-host. Say hello to Jim Barrier.
Hey, Bob. Good night, everybody. The show's over. He already said it all.
Okay. Well,
that was awesome.
So how you doing, Jim?
I'm doing great.
What should we talk about now?
Concise statements that I have ever heard, and that was just really well said. And I am doing great, my friend. As you know, I am the biggest fan of the Christmas season. We might talk a little bit about that and why we have Christmas now, this time of year, but I love this season. As I tell my congregation every year, you know, people all around the world are celebrating Jesus, even if they don't know him.
That that's absolutely true. And as you know, I was brought up Jewish, did not become a Christian until my second year of college, and I was already 19, soon to be 20 when that happened. So that's a lot of my life where, and it was liberal Judaism. It wasn't religious Judaism, cultural Judaism. But I loved Christmas time. I loved it. In fact, when we were little kids, our Jewish parents actually had us believe in Santa Claus because they didn't want us going to school telling the other kids that there was no Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Now, eventually, we learned that there was no Santa Claus, and we started celebrating Hanukkah. But I loved the lights. I loved the music. I know a number of years ago, I had a debate with an atheist named Mark Thomas on this show, here on this radio show, many years ago when we first started. And I'll never forget what he said to me over the air, because what we were debating that day was separation between church and state. And, we here in San Diego, there's all this stuff about whether the cross should be up on Mount Soledad.
Yeah.
And I would say, or whether they should sing Christmas carols at a public school. And I would say to him, what's the big deal? And he's not really understanding my background. He says, well, I think, Bob, that you Christians need to be sensitive to how some of us unreligious atheists may feel if we're at a public school and we see Christmas decorations. I said, Mark, that was me. That was my whole life. That was my whole school upbringing. It never bothered me. I thought Christianity was foolish. I thought all religion was foolish. I didn't understand why people were making such a bugaboo about a baby in a manger and how on earth that brought peace on earth. But I still loved the music. And if somebody said Merry Christmas to me and I didn't believe in Christ, so what? Doesn't that just mean that they're trying to be nice to me? I have truly looked at this from both sides of the fence,
yeah.
And I just never. This is when I was a pagan, okay? My wild pagan, irreligious days. I just didn't see what was the big deal. Now they're trying to take Bibles out of hotel rooms.
Yeah.
As if
yeah.
you can't leave it in the drawer. I wrote an article about a guy, Dan Barker. I actually have debated him several times. And I was responding to some things he had said in the media. And when asked why he couldn't just leave the Bible in the drawer, he says, that Bible talks about genocide in the Old Testament. Now, there really was no genocide, but okay, he believed that. Okay. He says, I shouldn't have to have a book that talks about that kind of God, even in the same room with me, never mind if it's in the drawer. I mean, those are the times we're living in. See what happens when you say Merry Christmas to me? I get on this tirade.
You know what? And I was the same way. I didn't become a believer until I was 16 years of age. But I loved Christmas all my life growing up. I enjoyed the friendliness that people seemed to show. There just seemed to be a little more kindness. There was charity. People were doing things for poor people. And of course, I love the lights. But yeah, I'm with you on that. I think there's been an assault on the faith, and it's come in many different forms from many different angles. And I think the last 8 years, that's escalated because there hasn't been anybody concerned. Let me say, we haven't had an ally to protect our rights.
No, in fact, Christianity is kind of the last bastion of allowed bigotry and prejudice in our country, when you think about it. You're not allowed to make fun of anyone else. Not that we should be making fun of people, but boy, it is open season on Christians, isn't it?
It seems like it has been, but I am hopeful. I've told you this, it's a guarded hope, but I'm hopeful based on the results of the recent election, which not only the occupier of the Oval Office, I see we picked up another Senate seat finally. I don't know why it takes so long to count votes these days, but
because people really only want to count them if they think they're going to count out in their favor. That's why.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know Hillary was counting for asking for recounts, except in the ones that were close in her favor.
Well, naturally, yeah.
I'm slightly encouraged. I have a guarded hope. And I know we have things on the list we wanted to talk about. I'm enjoying this whole conversation. I would love to get your thoughts on the, so far, the proposals for cabinet members by the president-elect. I'm real curious as to what your thoughts are there. I've been watching this, and I've been somewhat pleasantly surprised by some of them, and then others I've had questions, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, Mr. Trump is as mixed a review for me now as he was back when he first started running. I'm still, yeah. I mean, it would have been a nightmare if Hillary had won, so I'm still happy about it. The proposals, it concerns me that people like Giuliani, who stuck their neck out for him, seem to be laid out to pasture. Others like Jeff Sessions, I like. I think Trump's trying to mess with the heads of the media so that they just don't know what to think. And I'm not into reality shows, but I know that the Donald Trump reality shows have been big. And I think he's just, with the staging and the going up the elevator in Trump Tower, I think he's just, he's still on TV. And he loves the suspense. And yeah. And sooner or later, it's he probably won't say it, but it's kind of be like he looks at all the other cabinet members, picks the one he wants, and the rest of them, he says, you're fired, you know? So I do see him walking back promises, and I got into a slight debate with a good friend of mine, another co-host, who he likes Trump better than me. I like Trump better than my friend that I had on last week, but I like him less than the guy I had on the week before. I'm kind of in between. But anyway, right now it's Christmas, and I know you wanted to talk about the Magi today, Jim. We're going to play a song and celebrate the Magi. What Trump notwithstanding, we can always count on Jesus. We'll be right back.
Small dream of a savior tonight, one small hand reaching out to the starlight, one small city of light, one small city of light, one king bringing his gold and his riches, one king.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions at bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
I love this version of the sleigh ride. Okay, Jim, Nick and I put our heads together. We came up with some pop radio Christmas variety zingers for you. Who's this group?
Well, the original one, that sounds like the Ventures, but there's another band that has been reproducing this stuff. But I'm going to go with the Ventures. Is that the Ventures?
It is the Ventures. Very okay. Good. What does he win, Nick?
Absolutely nothing.
A sleigh ride.
He doesn't win a lovely rotisserie.
maybe later.
It's a brand new car.
There's a new band called Los Straitjackets, and they've gone back and done a lot of those venture style surf music Christmas carols, and they're a lot of fun. I love that stuff.
They are awesome. Hey, now Jim, I got to warn you before okay. When we come in from the break next time. Jingle Bells was never one of my favorite songs anyway.
Okay, yeah.
However, this version makes me crave for a legitimate singing of Jingle Bells. That's all I'm going to tell you. It is the worst recording of a Christmas carol I have ever heard. That's going to be your clue and your hint, and then you can guess that when we come in.
If it's the barking dogs, Nick, just scratch it.
Well, we won't tell you whether it's the barking dogs or not.
Okay.
I get a kick out of the bark. You know what? I get a kick out of the barking dogs, and frankly, we were going to do the barking dogs, and we may still do the barking dogs, but my point, my friend,
yes.
I promise you will miss the barking dogs when you hear this one.
Okay.
I'm giving you a lot to
bad.
Look forward to.
That bad. Okay.
All right. Anyway, you were talking about the Trump. I just wanted to say, if he comes back and they try to excuse him walking back his promises because that's the art of the deal and the starting position.
Yeah.
I know how people make deals. I know what goes on in the business world, but darn it, that's not the same as a campaign promise. And so, however, he's like I've said, if he just appoints one good Supreme Court justice, it'll still be worth it to me. So it's not hurting me personally to see him walk these things back. But I just wish he wouldn't do it because it for a guy that ran on not being a politician.
Yeah.
That's a pretty, and I'm getting tired of hearing about the art of the deal. So that's all.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at with Trump right now.
Yeah. And I am with you and I've said it since the 70s. The most important thing that a president does is appoint justices because those are lifetime appointments. So
and it shouldn't be the most important thing they do because the justices shouldn't have that much power and the Constitution doesn't even give them that much power, but it doesn't matter. Everybody thinks they have it. So therefore we are left with that. Yeah, I agree with you. What we're left with is the most important thing a president will do.
Whether it was the intent or not, they do have the power. So
yep.
Magi.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Magi.
Okay. What's on your mind with the Magi?
Well, okay.
Well, now, for those that are novices, when we talk about the wise men, the word that was actually used there is Magi. And some Bible mm-hmm. translations write the word astrologers, which confuses people because the Bible condemns astrology. But the actual word in Greek was the Greek word for magi.
Mm-hmm. There was actually an Old Testament counterpart to that. The people that Daniel hung around with in Nebuchadnezzar's court were magi.
Yes.
And these were, they were mystics. They were spiritual people. They were wise studiers of religion and other things and philosophy. And so, the whole 20th century concept of the three wise men, in fact, it doesn't anywhere say in the Bible that there were three wise men, does it?
It just says wise men, and yes, they were. And, it's very possible. Daniel gave a calendar of when the Messiah was supposed to come, and even though they talked about seeing a star, well, first of all, people need to realize there was a much closer association between astrology and astronomy in those days. Mm-hmm. So they when they were looking at the star that they thought signified when Christ was to come, that may have just been an astronomy thing and not a green light to get into astrology. And if any of you out there are into astrology, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I was into astrology for a while. I was into a lot of supernatural things, Ouija boards, seances, real supernatural stuff. I came to realize after I became a Christian that that's coming from an evil source, and we won't get into all of that tonight. But I was deceived, and if you're out there, I believe you are deceived, but I know it's sincere, and so we're not trying to get you to feel bad. We're just trying to give you a warning for your own good.
Well, let's just take these things a piece at a time. I want to talk about the star, but the magi, these wise men, these seekers of truth who came from the East. I've read many different things about this, and I've heard that there were anywhere from 12 to 120 of these people that traveled. And, of course, the modern-day manger scenes that we have and all of that with the three guys and the camels and everything, in the scripture, they don't show up until 2 years after Jesus.
At least 2 years, because and Jesus and baby Jesus and his parents are living in a house. They've taken up residence. Yeah. They're not in the manger anymore.
Right, right. Now, are you familiar with the works of one Brent Landau? Have you ever read?
That name is not ringing a bell.
Okay. He did a study, a book called The Revelation of the Magi, and he used transcripts that were allegedly from the culture of these people, these magi, these wise men from the East. Those manuscripts are now locked away in the Vatican somewhere. But he had some interesting insights about the thing, and his supposition is that they came from as far away as what is modern-day China.
I have heard that theory, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it has a little, it's intriguing to me because most of the writers have said they were either from Babylon or from Persia, which would be modern-day Iraq and modern-day Iran. It wouldn't take 2 years to travel that far, even with camels, as slow as camels are. And so I thought, well, that's an interesting thing. Maybe these guys came from really, really far east.
Or maybe it didn't take them 2 years, but they were just approximating the time. Because as I had said, I'm inclined to think Persia, because Daniel interacted with some of these people. And that's where Daniel, he was in Babylon, but the Babylonians had changed landlords and they were under Persian dominion.
Exactly.
We'll be right back.
Are we going to a break?
We're going right back. We'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric Incorporated, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Looking for a new book you won't be able to put down? Push the Winds Around is a romance set in the context of science fiction. Dr. Brandon Krieger is given the opportunity of a lifetime, a psychologist's dream. Through the usage of his physics professor friend's time machine, Brandon travels 20 years back through time in an attempt to change one man's destiny. Tom Kyle, a convicted and unremorseful murderer, is located in the past when he was a six-year-old boy. Brandon's mission? To alter Tom Kyle's path and prevent him from being a vicious killer. Matters are complicated when Brandon finds himself falling in love with young Tom's mother. Push the Winds Around, a novel by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. We're dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. All the fields we go, laughing all the way.
Okay, Jim, this is what I think is the worst rendition of Jingle Bells I've ever heard. Do you know who's singing this?
I don't know. Eartha Kitt? I don't know.
This is Barbara Streisand.
Oh, well, that's even worse.
I actually think Streisand's a great singer, but I just hate this. Listen to this.
That really is bad. I bring back the dogs. Hey, Nick,
I told you.
Bring me the dogs at the next break.
Look, it's like she's being playful and fun, and she thinks she's being funny, but it's not.
No, it's like she's in a hurry. It's like she's got to go to the bathroom, and the light's on in the studio. Okay.
Okay, well, now I have to apologize to my audience for exposing them to this. View it as an inoculation. I thought that by giving you this little sample, then you can avoid it later.
I will. That really was pretty bad. I had not heard that one, and thank you now for changing my life forever.
Well, I bought a Barbara Streisand CD a number of years ago because she does a beautiful rendition of I Wonder as I Wander. But unfortunately, the first one on the CD was this, and it was
it was
painful.
Forgive me for what sounded like an insensitive comment, but I just thought I find it interesting that people will do Christmas albums because there's big money in it. And actually, some of my favorites have been by Neil Diamond, the same kind of situation. Now, I have a great Barbara Streisand story. Years ago, John McCain, before he ran for president, he was the host of Saturday Night Live one night.
John McCain was?
John McCain.
Really?
And one of the skits they did, he got up with a microphone.
Wish they'd have hired him and kept him out of the Senate.
Oh, yeah. But he started singing, and he's singing Barbara Streisand tunes. And he's terrible. And then finally he stops and he says, you know, I'm really not a singer, so I should stick to my field. And Barbara.
Barbara, you got a great voice, so just sing and get out of politics.
Leave the politics to us and you do the singing.
Yeah.
That was a pretty funny skit for Saturday Night Live.
Well, that's pretty clever because I was getting pretty horrified imagining McCain singing. But that makes a good point. Yeah, she's horrible with her political views. I do think, though, movies like Funny Girl and On a Clear Day, You Can See Forever, and Hello, Dolly, she's brilliant, she's hilarious, she's talented, but the only song she ever did that she massacred was Jingle Bells. I do like all of her other stuff.
That was bad. So thank you. Now I will probably lose sleep over that.
Well, I hope we didn't make your Christmas a little less merry.
No, I will move on.
Okay. We'll just mercifully move on.
So we have the Magi. Well, now there's this other thing. They've seen this star, and I've heard people say it was Halley's Comet or it was this or that. And people are always trying to scientifically explain the phenomenon of the Bethlehem star, which is a misnomer because the star didn't take them to Bethlehem. And I have this thought.
Well, that's right. Now, they looked up the scripture that he was going to be born in Bethlehem, and I believe they got the time from Daniel. And there was probably some kind of astronomical thing, but the thing that went over the house had to have been some kind of supernatural theophany or manifestation or a comet or maybe something that God just created, because otherwise how's it going to shine right on that one house? That's what's
let me make a suggestion. And as you know, sometimes I play the role of the contrarian to the traditional views. In the book of Job, in the book of Isaiah, in the book of Judges, in the book of Revelation, and probably some more places, but those are a few that I found, the star is a name or a word that is used to describe angels. And many times in the Old and New Testament, when angels appeared, they were bright, glowing, a bright light. And is it possible that this star that led these men, whoever they were, could it have been an angelic being? Because he's not limited by time. He could take his time. He could change directions. Think about it. If these guys traveled, what did they do when they had to stop and sleep? Well, a heavenly star, astronomical character would just keep moving. The stars move all night long.
Yeah, and if, as you say, it wasn't that, the Bible doesn't say three. If as you say, it could have been up to 100, what kind of restaurants did they go to, and did they pay by separate checks or all together at one table?
Well,
these are the kinds of questions inquiring minds want to know.
Exactly. And were there 24/7 restaurants? My point is, this thing traveled as though it had a will of its own. Yeah. And these guys were able to follow it for however long, whether it was a few months or a couple of years. I'm just suggesting the possibility that it was an angelic being, because they are called stars many times in the Old and New Testament. And the angels are, they're mysterious dudes. They can take on the form of a man, but then sometimes they don't look like a man. Sometimes they're terrifying.
Well, that's right. And although this is happening, we know at least as many as 2 years, because King Herod had every child 2 years old or younger killed.
Exactly.
So they were estimating, we don't know, Jesus could have been up to 2 years old. They were living in a house, but in the birth narrative that we find in Luke, there were angels associated with it. There were angels appeared to the shepherds, and they say, so it's possible. It's also possible that it was just some other kind of miraculous light that God showed. But for it to actually shine on the actual house, we're not talking about some mere star in the sky. So I think it was a combination of things. They had Daniel's calendar gave the exact day that the grown Christ would ride into Jerusalem. They could have extrapolated backwards and given an estimation, which would explain why they could have traveled from Persia. I take that theory, I think, above the China theory, although they would have ate better if they left from China. I'd love that sweet and sour shrimp. But
they'd be hungry every 2 hours.
They'd be hungry every 2 hours. somebody's going to call us racist because we like Chinese food. That's how bad things have gotten. All right.
It's better than the North Korean food, because then you're hungry for
power. Oh, boy. All right. We'll be right back.
Looking for a church that will not only challenge you but help you to feel like a part of a family? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 in Hamishaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not in fact get any free trip to Bermuda, but you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear. But they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back. Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m.
Now, Jim, you have to admit, maybe you didn't like this song, but now that you've compared it to Barbara, it's not looking all that bad, is it?
You know, Nick, I want to thank you for purging my sensitive memory bank. That brought healing to me, believe it or not. So,
the dog is man's best friend, and he's doing pretty good. He's not deliberately massacring the song like old Babs did.
I got to say, I like that one better.
Yeah, I thought you might. It's just amazing when you have a little perspective in comparison.
Okay.
All right. You know, we gotta get a little more serious before this show's finally over.
Yeah, what if somebody tuned in for the very first time?
They'd say, oh my gosh, Christians know how to have fun and they're not always serious. That might not be too bad.
It might not be too bad. Okay, so we've covered the wise men and the star and the whole thing. How about why do we celebrate Christmas on December 25th? Wouldn't it have been cold out there tending sheep in the middle of the winter?
It would have been cold out there tending sheep in the middle of the winter, but the winters are not as bad in Israel as they are here. We don't know that it was on December the 25th. Now, it is true. Now, here's something that atheists make a big deal out of, and legalistic, self-righteous, sanctimonious Christians sometimes do, too. December the 25th was originally a Roman festival, the festival of Saturnalia, a very unusual custom where for one day slaves and masters traded places. And the master was the slave and the slave was the master. And I'm sure the slaves didn't go overboard because they knew they were going to be a slave again the next day.
Yeah.
But when Christianity prevailed over the Roman Empire, they started taking the Roman pagan holidays and turning them into Christmas. Now, some Christians think we shouldn't celebrate Christmas because it was once a pagan holiday. My view is if God can convert a heart and if God can convert a soul, he can convert a holiday. Even in Corinthians, they say, can you eat meat that had first been offered to an idol?
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul says, as long as you're not worshiping the idol and you're blessing it and asking God to bless it and you're giving thanks for God. So God can convert a piece of meat. He can I love Christmas. Yes, originally the 25th was Saturnalia. That's under the category of so what to me.
Okay. Well, let me do a little math with you, and I'll try to be quick about this. But in Luke's account of the story, it begins with the story of John the Baptist and his parents. And Elizabeth got pregnant, and her husband was one Zacharias, who was a priest from the family of Abijah. And he was asked to, he was given the opportunity to do some ceremonial things in the temple. And his family's time slot, according to the Talmud, would have been in the month of June. So now we have Elizabeth gets pregnant in the month of June. 6 months later, it says, when she was in her sixth month, Mary conceives, which would have put December as the month of conception, not the month of birth. And then 9 months later would be September, would have been closer to the reality, just by the biblical record, by the Jewish history and their traditions. It makes more sense that Jesus would have been born in the month of September. That's just a little quick math for you. You'll have to do the homework, but if you look at those stories and you look up those individuals, I think that's what you'll find. And so there's a case for that.
It's very possible. There's a case. I have not heard a case yet that hasn't broken down in some place. But, you know, the other thing was December the 25th was not just a Roman holiday. It was a Jewish holiday because the 25th was the night they rededicated the temple, and that was the beginning of Hanukkah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think 25th was such a popular number that somebody just decided, let's go ahead and make Christmas on the 25th.
I don't have a problem with it.
You know what? To me, it's the time and the season and what they're celebrating. And if I get to heaven and find out Christ was not born on the actual date of the 25th, which would not surprise me, I still think it's a wonderful time of the year.
I do, too. And I think it's marvelous that even in the secularized environment we find ourselves, people still celebrate the holiday season. I'm curious to see if the new president will call it a Christmas tree rather than a holiday tree.
I have a feeling he will. And you know, those that call it a holiday tree, don't they understand holiday means holy day?
And exactly.
Once the ACLU gets wind of that, they're going to probably want to outlaw the word holiday too.
Well, no, because then you get in trouble with the unions who take so many days off work.
Well, or they could just call it day. They could just call it day, but then doesn't that offend people that prefer night? I mean, there's something to be offended about no matter what you do.
Well, I, again, as I said at the top of the show, I love the fact that much of the world, and certainly the Western world, celebrate during this time, even if they do it with a lot of materialism and a lot of commercialism and a lot of things that aren't really all that holy. But it is set aside because of this person, Jesus, who really is a historical being. We talked about that, I think, last month some.
Yeah.
And I just find it marvelous that so many people celebrate the Christ child, even if they don't really know him personally or really know who he was and how powerful that concept is and what the incarnation entails.
I agree. Like I said, even before I was a Christian, in my Jewish background and atheist Jewish background, there was something about this time of the year. It affected me in a deep spiritual way that I wouldn't have been able to put my finger on at the time. But I think that in some ways, it's like God's moving heaven and earth just a little closer this time of the year.
Yeah.
And those people that say they're offended by the word Merry Christmas, they never seem to be offended getting their Christmas vacation or their Christmas bonus, are they?
There you go. And some companies that still give out a turkey or a ham. Though ham is not kosher. It's just funny. There's a lot of hypocrisy. And I think you know that what's behind all that is not that there's really a problem with this season or the holidays, but it goes back to the same thing when we talk about whether there is intelligent design and all of those things. As soon as you open the door to these notions of the truths that are in the scriptures and the person that Jesus Christ is and who he claimed to be and all of those things, then there becomes moral accountability. That's where the rub is.
It's like they say in that beautifully written poem, One Solitary Man, here was somebody that, at least here in this life, never became a king, never started a revolution, never wrote a book, was not rich. His life ended in what we would call disgrace. He was falsely accused. He had the most humiliating, painful death. And yet we changed the way we count time because of him. The world has never been the same since him. Whether people believe in him or don't believe in him, his word, his name is an electrically charged word. And even absolutely. When people swear, have you ever seen somebody stub his foot and say, oh, Buddha? They don't do that.
I mean, doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's just there's some kind of spiritual warfare going on. The demons shudder at the name. The angels rejoice at the name. It affects people. All right, Jim, hold with me, my friend, for another break. Okay. We'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel. I've been on the radio for many years, but let me tell you about a voice I've learned to appreciate far more than any radio announcers, Fred Falduti of Realty Executives All Area. Now, why do I care so much about Fred's voice? Because not long ago, Fred's voice spoke the following words to me.
Bob, I have some good news for you. They accepted your offer.
That's right. Fred Falduti just sold my house. With words like those, who needs radio? Folks, I'm telling you, choosing the right realtor is no small task. Fred took a personal interest in my situation, treating me less like a customer and more like a member of the family. And Fred's been doing this since 1994. Realty Executives All Area has sold thousands of homes locally.
Our footprints are throughout San Diego County, and we are proud of our accomplishments of assisting home sellers and buyers like you. Over the years, we've managed hundreds of real estate transactions and have encountered just about every kind of challenging situation possible.
That's it, folks. That's the voice that will sell your home. Whether buying or selling, the man you want is Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area. 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfalduti.com. We radio hosts love to talk, but let's face it, when have we ever sold your home? Fred Falduti will. This is Bob Siegel. In addition to radio and public speaking, I love to write novels. Some of these novels are for kids, and when I write for them, I try to think about what kind of book I would have loved when I was a kid. So I'm sure you can understand how satisfying it is to read a customer review such as this one that a parent put up on Amazon.com next to my children's novel, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. I bought this book when it first came out, read it, and thought it very good. My 11-year-old son, who I could never get to read a book from cover to cover willingly, recently was told he had to read in homeroom at school. He asked if he could use my Kindle because another child in the class was using one. This book is on my Kindle, so I suggested he read it. He has not put it down since. I have to take the Kindle into my room at night because he stays up reading. He told me tonight that he is almost done with the book and asked me to download the sequel. I wish there was one. I would recommend this book for anyone with a kid who likes to read and anyone with a kid who doesn't. Well, that was then, and this is now, because the much-anticipated sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is finally here. It even has a title. It's called Inside the Castle in the Glass. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament and Inside the Castle in the Glass. Available in both ebook versions and print versions on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Bells will be ringing the glad, glad news. Oh, what a Christmas to have the blues. My baby's gone. I have no friends to wish me greetings.
Okay, Jim, you get one more crack up at that. Who's the artist? What are they singing?
You know, I have the Eagles version, and that is not the Eagles. So it's got to be one of the old rhythm and blues artists.
Charles Brown?
Huh?
What did you say, Nick? Charles Brown? Charles Brown is what Nick's the arbiter here.
Yes, and he did. He had a more famous tune about "Merry Christmas, Baby," and all of that. Good, great song, Nick. You're the greatest.
I think I've come to know this song as a father and mother in Home Alone hugging each other goodbye in the airport when she hops on the plane to go find her lost son.
Yes,
that's the only way I know this
soundtrack.
Song.
Great soundtrack. Well, now listen, we've only got a few more minutes, and this is my last opportunity of this year to be with you on the show. So I just wanted to get a little nostalgic and to sign off for this year with you. I want to tell you, I have really, really enjoyed sharing with you from month to month on this show. And you kind of put me on the spot on the air one time. So I had to make a decision and say yes, and it was a really good decision.
I put you on the spot about coming on once a month?
Yeah. I don't know if you remember that. I was in San Diego, and I was in the studio.
Yeah, Nick and I were talking about that tonight, and we were both talking about how fun it is to have you on the show.
Yeah,
and I said, that seems like just – I used to have Jim on once in a blue moon. Not in a blues moon like the song, but once in a blue moon. And I said, but I think it was two whole years ago he was in. And you know what, my friend, that seems like just yesterday. It is a blast having you on. And it's always such an honor to be with you. I wish you lived in San Diego. I can't quite yet say I wish I lived in Texas, but I do wish we lived in the same city.
Yeah, it would be fun to be able to spend more time together and to go have lunch with you and have some real Mexican food, because in the city I live, they have this stuff called Tex-Mex, and it's just the
thing. Well, remember, you and Gary took me out to Mexican food before I came on your show. That's how I met Jim. I was out in San Antonio doing a debate the next morning, And he and Gary had me on his show. It was like at 9 o'clock in the evening. And they took me out to Mexican food. And I felt like I'd known these guys my whole life. I don't remember how, I didn't think the food was so bad, but I was enjoying your company so much. I might not have noticed. We do have good Mexico food here on the border. Well, Texas is on the border too, though. So you're a border
in
state.
In many, many ways. At any rate, yeah, I agree. I'd love to see you more, but I really enjoy doing the show, and I hope I'll be able to do this with you.
Well, can I? Yeah, well, I was going to say, let me put you on the spot that you're going to do it another whole year at least, right?
Absolutely.
Did you know that when we come back and return in January, my show is beginning its, believe it's beginning its 13th season, if I'm counting correctly.
Wow.
Maybe it's the 12th. I'll have to go back and count again. But
we've been on
a number of years.
That's awesome, and I just wish you the greatest success. And I'm not going to wax prophetic because I have no idea what's going to happen in 2017. But I think it's going to be a very interesting year. I've heard some. I know certain people that are in certain fields. And there's an awful, the climate is changing in this country and around the world. I'm reminded of many years ago, there was a president-elect, and the running joke was, what's flat and glows in the dark on Inauguration Day?
I never heard this one. What is it?
There were U.S. hostages in Iran, and they knew that Ronald Reagan was going to get inaugurated. And lo and behold, on Inauguration Day, the hostages were released.
Yeah, and you know, everybody was talking about how Reagan, he's an actor, he's a bumpkin, he's a moron. I was hearing the same things. You don't want to put his fingers near the trigger. Now liberals will fondly remember him as having been a good president. So it is interesting. Same with Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln. Everybody on his cabinet thought they could do a better job than him. And then they found out later that's why he put them on his cabinet. Which might explain some of what Trump is doing. Wasn't it Michael Corleone in The Godfather 2 that said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer?
That's right. And in any field, whether it's in business or politics or in ministry, the person that knows that he can't do everything and he surrounds himself with people who know how to do things in certain areas even better than he does, that person is a wise man. And so let's hope that he has that pattern. Let's hope that things go well. And as we mentioned earlier, let's truly hope that however many Supreme Court justice appointments he makes, that he listens to good counsel. We have a majority. I say we. The conservative side, the Republicans, have a majority in the House and Senate. And so getting someone approved who maybe is tilted more conservative than liberal has a better chance of getting approved. So there's a lot that could happen. A lot that can happen.
And you know, there's a real symmetry to our show, even though one of the things I love about having you on, my friend, is I love our tangents. I love us going all over the map. People at home may not always like it as much, but we did go from, you were just talking about a wise man. We went from wise men a la Christmas to a wise man. So there is a symmetry. There is a loop that eventually returns.
And you also mentioned Don Corleone, so we had wise guys.
And wise guys, there you go. Is there a song called We Three Wise Guys of Orient or something like that?
Yeah, Larry Moe and Curly, no doubt.
Now, is that why somebody thought the wise men came from China, because they sang about the Orient? Are they basing that on a Christmas carol? Well, there were people that were in Babylon that actually were called Magi, and that's Magi, the same word in the New Testament. That's why I am inclined to believe they came from Babel. But what do I know? I'm just a dumb human. Our faith is in God.
Yeah.
Jim, my friend, I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. I know that your family has had a rough time this year, and I'm hoping and praying, and I really believe 2017 is going to be a better year for you. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you so much, Bob. Love
all right. Talk to you soon. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to wish all of you the very merriest Christmas. And I did say Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays. That's Merry with two R's and an E and a Y and an M. Merry Christmas, as in Christ in the word. I want to be very clear that that's exactly what I mean. Merry Christmas.
The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.